Well, good morning, New Life. So great to see your faces. Good morning to those of you out on the patio. Good morning to those of you watching online. So great to see you. If you're new today, if you're new to New Life, welcome. You can visit Connection Central. That's out on the patio afterwards. We'd love to get to know you and meet you and just say hi to you. My name's Christy. I am the junior high youth pastor here. And at 9 o'clock, I meet with all the junior hires and we walk through the Bible and we study the Bible together. But one of my favorite things that we do that I actually got from Pastor Jared is we have jam time, which is Jesus and me time. And the students write in a journal and I read the journals and we respond back and forth. And it's been so awesome. And I've learned so much from junior hires. And I just want to encourage you in what one of my junior hires wrote one Sunday. She writes, "A way I can use my influence to expand God's kingdom is by reaching out to people and giving an advice that'll help them want to reach out to God. I can invite people to go to youth group, which can expand God's kingdom. I can talk about God and try to point people in the direction of God. I think expanding God's kingdom is more than just getting people to believe in him. I think people might know he exists, but don't believe in him. They don't trust him and might not believe him to be as powerful as he truly is. So to believe has a deeper meaning than knowing he exists." So I just want to encourage you guys in this. This is from a seventh grader, that God is doing a mighty work in our young people. So yeah, awesome. So you guys can go ahead and stand and join with me in worship.
be seated a minute, and then would you just join me in prayer as we just give this day to God? Oh, Heavenly Father, we just give you this day, this right now. We just thank you so much for the new life that we're going to celebrate today in our kids, in our students, and God, those that are just giving their lives to you today in baptism. And God, you are so good. And we just thank you, God, for being the same yesterday, today, as you will be tomorrow. We just praise you for your faithfulness. And God, we just pray just for your Holy Spirit just to fill this place, God. We give it to you right now in your precious name. Amen.
I don't know about you. It's been a long week. There's been a lot of busyness going on. We've had more traffic in our area than normal. Somebody like, We've had sickness going around and all kinds of stuff. And so we are, I mean, when we sing that song, like sometimes like joy in the house. No, I really don't feel joyful this morning. But man, it's so good to like just enter into praise and to lift up the name of Jesus and just to find ourselves worshiping whether we feel like it or not. It's not, hey, I worship when I feel like it. And then when I don't feel like it, I don't worship. It's we worship because God is worthy of our praise. Amen. Well, we've got some incredible families that have decided to offer their children in dedication. And so we know that from an Old Testament example of when Hannah dedicated Samuel, that when we are blessed with our children, that yes, we talked last week about stewarding things. You are stewards of your children's lives because ultimately God is the one who created them and knit them together and has plans and purposes for their lives. And so it's our responsibility as parents to guide and direct them towards the voice of God and guide and direct them towards the ways of God so that as they hear his voice and as they walk in his ways, that they will discover the fullness of the plans and purposes that God has for them. And so these parents are gathered here today in order to do that. I'm trying to find the right place where you guys can still get pictures. Like, my bad. Because really, that's what it's all about right now, not me. But I want to just encourage you, and we simply have a simple liturgy. And liturgy is just an awesome way for us to affirm. It's like your vows when you get married. It's like these commitments that we have that says, hey, there was this point. We're going to do baptism later. There's this point in my life. There's this kind of altar, Ebenezer Stone, if you're familiar with those biblical kind of concepts. That there's this point that we just say, hey, this was the moment where I said, yes, I want to raise my kids to know and to love God. And so ultimately, what's different about dedication than baptism that we'll do later is that dedication is a commitment on behalf of mom and dad. Yes, we're dedicating your children, but it's really a commitment on behalf of mom and dad, signifying that your faith in Jesus, and not only your faith in Jesus, but your desire to raise your children at an early age, that they may know the love of God. And because that they know the love of God, because you've communicated that to them, because you have read them God's word that communicates his love for them, that at an early age they would respond to that love by giving their lives completely and fully over to Jesus. That not only that, but the Holy Spirit would fill your children. And as the Holy Spirit fills your children, that their character would be shaped. We're going to be talking today about, hey, we don't just out of self-discipline see transformation, but it's the shaping and the transformation of the Holy Spirit in our lives that does that. And because they have been loved by Jesus and because they have been shaped by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would go forth in this world to be about the things that God wants to do in this world through their lives. And so really that is our heartbeat for your children as their faith community and why you have decided to dedicate your children today. It'll be your responsibility as parents to work with God and the church. Notice that for a second. It's not just their responsibility. It's not just God's responsibility to say, hey, I'm just going to zap your kids and they're going to be amazing and wonderful. And it's not just the church's responsibility. It is God. It's you guys in the church working in partnership with God to see that type of transformation happen. In fact, if you're unaware of some of the statistics, we're reminded that sometimes our tendency is to say, hey, the church is going to raise my kids to do that. You know, the church has, if we're lucky, 40 hours a year with your children. You have 3,000 hours. 3,000 hours to be able to disciple and to raise your kids to know and to love God. And so it'll be your responsibility as parents to work with God and His church. You're not alone. To model and teach your child to love God and others. To watch over your child's education and discipleship. To direct your child in the instruction of the Holy Scriptures, the ways of Jesus, and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And to raise your child to be a part of the church or the body of Christ. And so will you commit to do these things with God's supernatural help? If so, answer, I will with God's help. Awesome. And then for congregation, you know, again, they're not alone. This isn't something we know. It requires a village. In a moment, we're going to bring up the opposite kind of end of the adolescent spectrum, and we're going to have our graduates here. And every parent who has a graduate here knows it took a village to get our kids here. So it is not only mom and dad's, but it's our responsibility as the faith community, as the body of Christ, to help these parents to raise their children to know and love God. And so I ask you as a congregation, will you commit yourself as the body of Christ to pray for these children, to support and encourage these parents as they endeavor to fulfill their responsibilities and assist by nurturing their children towards spiritual maturity? If so, say, we will with God's help. That's good news. It takes a lot of work to raise kids, so that's really good news. So, well, we're going to pray and dedicate each of these children. And I know you guys have some family that's here. Can we have, you know, your family stand at this time as we pray over? And you want to introduce everybody?
Yeah. I am super excited to introduce the Stava family. We have Amelia and Elliot, and we have Madison Grace.
Awesome, awesome. And yes, you guys can celebrate that. You want to hold this for me for just a second? Madison, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's skeptical. She's skeptical. I can feel it, but we're going to pray quickly. Will you reach out your hand to Madison, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we dedicate Madison Grace Stava to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, we ask that at an early age, she would come to know you as Lord and Savior. God, we ask that she would listen to your voice, that she would walk in your ways, that she would respond to your love for her, and that, God, she would become fully the young woman that you created and designed her to be. God, open up your plans and purposes for her. May she be surrounded by this faith community. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We made it to the end. It was so good. You did awesome, Madison. Awesome, Madison. So, Luke.
Cool. Okay. And here we have the Larkart family. And we are doing, I think, two of the kiddos today.
Luke and Faith.
So we're doing Luke and Faith.
Yeah.
And Big Sister Elliot.
Come here. You want to come here, Luke? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay, you're more curious, I think. You're like, what's going on here? All right. Hi. All right, and you guys have family. Do you guys have family here? Yeah, you guys want to stand up for us? And yes. And some on the patio as well. And if I could have, again, just as a part of our tradition, would you guys reach out your hands towards young Luke here? And awesome. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up Luke Lockhart to you, and we dedicate him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, we are grateful for his life, and we pray at a very young age that he would come to know you as Lord and Savior. God, may he recognize your love for him, that you knit him together. God, we pray that he would hear your voice as his Heavenly Father, that he would walk in your ways, and that, God, he would become fully the young man that you have created and designed him to be. You have plans and purposes for his life. May he embrace those so that he can become fully alive in you. We ask all these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Awesome. Hey, Faith, you want to come over here? Oh, yeah. She gave me a big hug this morning, didn't you? You did great. All right. All right. And so again, congregation, would you reach out your hands to Faith? And let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up Faith to you. And we dedicate Faith Lockhart in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, we ask that at a very early age, she would come to know you as Lord and Savior. We ask, God, that she would hear your voice and recognize your love for her. We ask, God, that she would be shaped by your Spirit and that she would go forth into this world to fulfill the plans and purposes that you have created her for. God, I pray as she grows that she would become the young woman that you had in mind, God, when you knit her together. God, may she follow and listen to your voice. May she walk in your ways and do all that you have created her to do. We ask all these things in Jesus' powerful and mighty name. Amen. Awesome. Can we celebrate these families one more time? Congratulations, Elliot.
Amen. What a awesome celebration. Man, I was just telling my wife, I love babies. Like, I love it. So don't get any ideas, though, church. Hey, right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings this morning. As we continue to celebrate babies being dedicated to the Lord, we want to also celebrate the ability for us to even give back to God's house. And as we're doing that, I have a story for you of what our generosity, our church's generosity has done. So our church has been able to plant churches in the Middle East. I don't know if it's like the 1040 window, but I know in the Middle East. And so in the Middle East where ISIS is rampant, or has been and currently still is. And so a story from there is we had a slave girl who was a part of a slave ISIS camp somehow get out through the church plant, and she gave her life to the Lord. And then from there, and we can't share where and names for protection purposes, but we can share the story about her getting out of being a slave from ISIS and then giving her life to Jesus. And then from there, seeing a life transformation happen. And then from there, she had siblings as well, a brother and a sister that didn't change. Because her life was changed, she went and shared the gospel with her brother and her sister. And then they end up coming to faith in Jesus and giving their life to the Lord. And so that's just one story of what our tithes and offerings are doing, not just here in the Central Coast, but globally as well. And so I just want to say thank you, church, for your generosity. Thank you for continuing to give to see what God is doing in the earth, because what he is doing in the earth is building his church. And so that's why we give. That's one reason why we give. And so with that being said, I just feel prompted to pray over the offering right now. So ushers, can you just stay in the room before and just, let's just extend hands towards the offering. I don't know why I want to do this, but I should probably get away from this water as I drop this microphone. And let's just extend hands towards the offering. I don't know why we should do this, but I just felt prompted to do it. So Father, right now we ask that you would bless what was given today, Lord, so that more kingdom work could be done in the Central Coast, in the States, but also globally as well. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be abundant here in the Central Coast and to be able to give as well. Thank you for the privilege and for letting us partner with you in giving. And so, Lord, we ask that you bless that, you would double it, you would multiply, and that you would use that, Lord, that you would give wisdom to the church and the elders and the board to know how to use the funds properly as well. So, God, give us wisdom. Bless the offering in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Amen. Right now, what I'm going to do is invite some of the high school seniors, not seniors, but high school seniors and their families up to the stage. We have an opportunity to, I legit almost fell off. So high school seniors, if you're in the room, go ahead and make your way forward. We are going to pray over you. We're going to acknowledge them. We're going to honor them because it's graduation season. It's senior season right now. So if they're making their way to the, and your families as well, mom and dad, siblings as well, everybody go ahead and come up. Actually, Jacob, I need you to run down real quick. Don't jump, but run. Anyone, Vince, I need you to run. Chris, I text you. I would like for you to come up here as well. I know, bro. I'm putting you on. Yes, you. Yes. Chris leads Young Life in our community. Yes, what's up? And so he works with high schoolers as well. So anyone that works with students as well, go ahead and come up here too. What we want to do is honor the class of 2022 with just letting you see who they are. And then from here, we want to, so everyone who works with students, sorry to put you on blast, bro. We're just going to gather around them. Vince, Jacob, Chris, we're going to gather around the students, the families, and church. You're going to extend your hand as well, and we're going to pray over them. And I think we have some people who are going to mark you with oil, because we want this time to be a time where, yes, we just celebrated kids being dedicated to the Lord, but now we are dedicating y'all back to the Lord as a adult, as 18-year-olds, as whatever you are. And so as you go into the future and whatever God has for you, we as a church want to acknowledge you, honor you, tell you we love you, thank you for continuing to be at this church, continue to be plugged in your faith. I like your Jordans. And this is a simple act of like marking you with oil so that you are marked by the Spirit of God as you continue to go in your faith. And so right now, church, extend your hand. We're going to pray over them. People lay hands around them, on them. And so let's pray right now. Father, we thank you so much for all these seniors that are represented here, God. We ask that as they continue to come into your presence, God, I pray that you would give them more of a hunger and thirst for your presence, God. God, that you would, as your word says, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. And so, God, I pray for these seniors, God, that as they go out, that they would have your good news in their mouth. That they would have your word hidden in their heart so they may not sin against you in the coming days. Travis, keep praying. Yes, sir. And so, God, we just ask right now that you would mark them. God, as they go off into whatever season of life they're going into, God, I pray that you would keep their faith strong. That there would not be a deconstruction that happens, but Lord, that there would be a continued reconstruction of their faith, that you would walk them through spiritual maturity as well, God, that you would protect their minds. Help them to be people who walk in grace and truth. And God, whatever they put their hand to, we pray you would honor that you would bless it, God, and not for their glory, but for your glory and for kingdom work. And so, Lord, we continue to celebrate right now. Celebrate that these are finishing high school and going into adulthood and college and work. And so, God, bless them and keep them. May you make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. Fill them with your Spirit continually. Help them not turn their back on you, but to love you even more. And we pray for the families as well as they send their kids off as well. We ask that you would give comfort to the moms and dads and the grandparents and the siblings. That they would not worry, Lord, but they would entrust their kids to you because you are trustworthy. And so we give you these seniors and say, have your way. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's celebrate these seniors as they accomplish something amazing. Thank you, bro. All right. Right now, we are going to thank y'all so much. You can go back to your seat or to your instrument or whatever you need to do. After service, we have a gift for all these seniors. We have, we're going to take a photo with all these seniors too. So if you're out on the patio and you see them, just say hi to them. Give them a high five. Congratulate them. Encourage them or something. Because it's not easy getting through 13 years of school. And some of them have 6 more years or 8 more years or 4 more years. And so right now what I'm going to do is we are going to go back into a worship song. As we have celebrated kids, as we have celebrated the offering, as we have celebrated life changing in the Middle East, as we continue to celebrate seniors graduating and accomplishing something, we are going to celebrate something else, and that's our King Jesus. So I'm going to invite you to stand up, congregation, and we're going to continue to celebrate life change, because one day, the Bible says, the heavens are going to open and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. One day, the Muslim will bow their knee and confess with their lip. The Buddhist is going to bow their knee and open their and confess with their mouth. The atheist, one day, is going to say that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. But right now, we get to sing this song called King, Hail King Jesus, and we get to proclaim that stuff right now. His lordship, his kingship. Him being God. And so let's Let's sing this song, All Hail King Jesus. Amen? Let's worship. Thank you.
want you to keep that chorus in your mind. And I want you to think about how much of a radical, revolutionary cry it is to declare that Jesus is Lord and Savior of the world in light of the fact that sometimes when we look at the world, we're like, man, what is going on? Like, think about this. We just talked about a story of a young girl who was an ISIS slave who came to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and then led her siblings to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so in the darkest of places, in the darkest, Ukraine, there are churches that are gathering in Ukraine this morning, and the circumstances around them, they don't look promising. And yet they declare in the face of evil, in the face of brokenness, sickness. There are people who are here today who are watching us online because they're so sick they can't even get here. They're on the patio in the midst of sickness. When your mind is telling you, God, where are you in all this? There is something significant about singing these words. All hail King Jesus. Let me hear you. All hail believing Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior.
All hail the Savior.
In the face of a broken world, keep singing, keep singing.
All hail King.
In the face
Jesus.
Of cancer. In the face of addiction, in the face of depression, in the face of whatever you're going through, I want you to sing these words out. Give King Jesus some praise this morning. Hallelujah. And so, God, we offer this time to you. We gather together, whether it's here on the patio or at home, we gather together intentionally during this time because all week long, we're bombarded with the brokenness of this world, and we're bombarded with the sickness of this world, and we're bombarded with the evil of this world, and we're bombarded with the hopelessness of this world. And so we gather together to remind ourselves that the truth is that King Jesus still reigns over it all, that his victory has already been won, and that we get to be witnesses of the reality of his life, his death, and his resurrection. We ask all these things in Jesus' powerful and mighty name. Amen. As you have a seat, turn to someone and say, aren't you glad you came to church? So in the book of Acts, which is in the New Testament or the second half of the Bible, we get the historical story of the Holy Spirit coming upon the church on the day of Pentecost. And if you are not aware, today is the day when the church across the world celebrates and remembers the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's called Pentecost Sunday. And if you know anything about the story of Pentecost, man, there's some spectacular and awesome things that happen. I mean, the descriptive language in the book of Acts is just phenomenal. This idea that the Holy Spirit rested on the people of the church like tongues of fire, that the wind blew through and that they sensed that, that God was moving in a powerful way. And then you have someone like Peter who quite honestly doesn't have his best moments at the end of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He actually denies Jesus three times and he gets kind of cowardly and stuff. And we're reminded that apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can operate in that same type of cowardness. And yet, in the book of Acts, now filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter stands up in the midst of a large, diverse crowd and begins to proclaim the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And when he does, droves of people come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior on that particular day. And most of the people that were gathered there were not from that particular area. They were part of the Jewish diaspora, which means they were dispersed throughout the land. So when they went back home, they went back home filled with the Holy Spirit also and empowered with the message of Jesus. And they told their friends, and their friends told their friends, and their friends told their friends and family members, and generations began to tell each other, and generations of family began to pass down the faith all the way down to someone who told you, or maybe even as recently as this week, you were invited by someone who has heard the message of Jesus. And you are here today because the Holy Spirit birthed the church and empowered the church to go and be witnesses to all nations. Can I get an amen? Amen. So this is an incredibly, like, we celebrate, we forget, right? We are better at, quite honestly, if I can just kind of push back a little bit, we are better at remembering and celebrating Black Friday than we are the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're better at remembering our own birthdays, or maybe not, you don't want to remember yours, but some of us are better at that than we are the birth of the church. And what I want to remind us of is when we find ourselves removed from the story of God, it becomes somebody else's story. When we find ourselves removed from the biblical narrative, and so one of the beauties and one of the reasons some people ask, hey, why do we highlight things like Advent and the Lenten season, and why do we highlight Easter and Good Friday and these types of things? It's because we want to remind ourselves that we are part of a different story. Our story is anchored to what God has done in the past, what God is doing right now, and what we believe God is going to do in the future. And what's beautiful, again, how current is this idea that on the day of Pentecost, God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, took a multi-ethnic, multi-socioeconomic, multi-generational, multi-fill-in-the-blank, an extremely diverse community and created a community that was extremely diverse but had oneness. Oneness in the fact that Jesus was Lord. Oneness in their baptism. Oneness in the Spirit. That he took these individuals and he brought them together. And guess what? There was nobody in that crowd, and there's nobody down throughout church history who looked at the diversity of the church and said, oh, that's going to be easy. People who don't think like each other necessarily all the time. People who vote maybe differently than one another. People who are from different ethnic groups, specifically in that time, completely different tribes, who at one point in their tribal history were probably warring against each other. Different generations. We have more generations living at the same time today than ever in human history. People are wondering, man, why can't we just all see things the same way? Because we have all lived in different seasons of this world, and we have seen things happen in different ways, and we understand our worldview from a different perspective sometimes. Multi-socioeconomic. Some of us have wealth, and some of us are quite literally struggling to put food on the table every single day. And when God thought and dreamt up this idea of the church, he knew that we would need supernatural power to know how to love one another and bear with one another and care for one another and forgive one another, encourage one another, to simply do life with one another. You see, when I think When we talk about Pentecost Sunday, and when we think about what happened in the book of Acts, we think about the tongues of fire, and we think about the wind, and we think about this massive group of people coming to know Jesus. What we think about, I think, at times is the extravagance of Pentecost. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about that. He says, man, you're going to have gifts of the Spirit. Some of you are going to speak in tongues. Some of you are going to prophesy. Some of you are going to teach. Some of you are going to be apostles. Some of you are going to have incredible, incredible gifts. And so when we think or we associate things to the Holy Spirit, we often begin with this, with these wonderful gifts of the Spirit, which are true and awesome and wonderful. And yet, at the end of chapter 12, and as Paul begins to move in, if you want to turn there now, 1 Corinthians is where we're going to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. No, I'm not marrying anybody today. That's when we usually hear that verse. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but right before he begins chapter 13, chapter 12, verse 31, Paul says, now, after listing all these gifts of the Spirit, after talking about how wonderful these gifts are, he says, now I will show you a better, or even in some translations, I love, it's like Bill and Ted Excellence Adventure back in the day, I will show you a more excellent way. Turn to someone near you and say, a more excellent way. And so you should be leaning in. It's like Paul. Imagine him writing. Like, we don't think about this. We're like, oh yeah, you know, did this, you know, when in history did this happen? Just imagine Paul is sitting down and he's penning, and he's saying, oh man, this spiritual gift is awesome, and this spiritual gift's gonna help you be a witness, and this spiritual gift is gonna edify the church. And be careful of this one, because it may not edify the church. And he's writing all these things, and it's like he picks up his pen at the end of his litany about spiritual gifts that are awesome and wonderful, and he pauses for a moment, and he thinks in his mind, he's like, oh, but there's something even more excellent I need to tell you about. There's something even better, more amazing I need you to know about. And then he puts his pen back down, and this is what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. We struggle sometimes with the biblical text because our language in English is so limiting. Some of you who have grown up in the church know this, that there are essentially four words in the Greek, biblical Greek, for our understanding of what love is. They're eros love, this idea of erotic or sexual type love that is talked about. We understand this idea of philia love, this idea of brotherly love. It's where we get the word Philadelphia, and so we understand that type of love. This storge love, that's what you witnessed earlier in the two ceremonies that we did of dedication and even praying over our graduates. It's this instinctual love that we have as parents for our kids and for those that are a part of our family. And then there's this idea that again helps define our understanding of what Paul's talking about in this text, and it's this idea of agape love, this sacrificial love, this idea of love given to somebody who maybe doesn't deserve it and expecting nothing in return. It's just simply our calling to love people right where they are, not as they're supposed to be. Let me say that again. That you love people right where they are and not as they're supposed to be. See, a lot of times we want to love people as they're supposed to be, and they're only worthy of our love once they've kind of met a certain requirement. But that's not what this is talking about. This is saying that, yeah, I am going to love you right where you are at, regardless of whether or not you have met a certain metric. I'm going to love you right where you're at. And so rather than using that word agape for this understanding, although I want that in the background, I want to use this idea for the word this morning. And that's the idea of what I want to call holy love. Because when we're talking about holiness over the last several of weeks, it's this idea that things are set apart. And I want you to know that agape love is a holy love. It's a love that's set apart. It's not something that you can conjure up on your own. You're never gonna discipline yourself enough to have a holy love. And so this idea of holy love is something I want you to frame out in your mind this morning, because it requires an infilling of the Holy Spirit that until that happens, you will never love people like that. It's impossible. And so when Paul's writing, he's saying, hey, I want you to know that holy love is greater than spectacular. Think about that for a moment. I want you to know that when the Holy Spirit fills you and gives you a holy love for others, that it's a greater gift. It's the most important of gifts he could give you. It is more important than any spectacular gift. Oh yeah, but the Holy Spirit gave me the ability to pray for people and they are healed. It's greater than that, because that healing is temporary. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Guess what? He still died at some point. It was awesome. It was spectacular. But he still died. Speaking in tongues and prophecy, awesome. Like spectacular gifts. Like, whoo, what did that person just say? That sounded so spiritual. Holy love is greater. Holy love is greater. In fact, I think in our current culture, we've made a mistake. We are currently, you talk to people right now, we're like, hey, pastor, we're in the end times, aren't we? Oh, pastor, hey, we should be looking for signs and wonders. In a self-absorbed, individualized Western culture, one of the most spectacular signs and wonders in a divided nation where everybody wants their own opinion to matter most, and I'm only gonna care for the people that look like me, think like me, and act like me, one of the most spectacular signs and wonders is holy love. Like, think about that for a moment. Like, we're waiting for someone to be raised from the dead. I think people are more shocked when people love people who don't look like them, act like them, believe like them, and in an agape love way, they are more shocked at that. Like, you hear people talking, like, non-Christians are like, dude, you talk to them? You broke bread with that family who literally believes completely opposite of you. In so many areas, you broke bread with that person, that neighbor? You cared for them? That Muslim family, that's your neighbor. The atheist family, that's your neighbor. When they got sick, you took them food. You cared for them. You drove their kids to school when they couldn't get out of bed. But why would you? Sign and wonder. Holy love. I don't have much time today, so I need to keep going. But you understand what I mean? Like that. This is powerful, powerful stuff. See, too often we say we want the spectacular. One pastor said it this way this week. I saw him on my Instagram feed, and it was so good because he said, man, so many times as Christians, we chase the Holy Spirit or the spiritual experience. We're just chasing the next experience. Why we show up every single week. Another Holy Spirit experience. Do you know the only reason that God gives you Holy Spirit experiences is so that you could go out into the world and participate with him in bringing the kingdom of heaven down to the kingdom of earth? Like, he wants you to know, yes, what you're speaking and what you're preaching and what you're teaching and what you're living into is true. And so I'm going to let you know that through an awesome Holy Spirit-filled experience. But then you have a responsibility. It's not to chase the next experience. It's to go and bear witness to what God is doing in this world. How do we know that? Like, you're like, oh, David, come on, really? Like, how do you know that is what Jesus wants us to do? Well, John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How did God love one another? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Ephesians chapter 5 now. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, when we didn't think like him and act like him and believe like him and walk in his ways, Christ, God, died for us. Jesus gets up from a table where he knows he has a betrayer and a denier. And he gets down and he washes his disciples' feet. He says, this is what love looks like. And so in a culture that chases spectacular or quick or easy or kind of spectacular moments, those things are catalytic, but they are not the end goal. The end goal is holy love. And you're going, yeah, but we can do a whole lot of good outside of holy love. Actually, you can't, because Paul says that holy love is even greater than the good things you think you're doing. So you know all that, like, yeah, but you know, I should go to like 5 Bible studies a week. Awesome, go to 5 Bible studies a week. I don't really care. Fill your brain with the Word of God. We've been memorizing the Word of God during this series. It's awesome to do that. But you know what? Holy love is even greater than that. Paul says, it's greater than any knowledge you have of God. Oh, but man, we have a pantry here and we serve the poor and then we're gonna go do this and we send our money. We talked last week, man, money is an awful master, but it's an incredible servant. We send our money to do great work around the 5 cities and around California and around our nation, and around the world. It's awesome and it's wonderful. Guess what? Holy love is even greater than that. It is the fuel. See, we have mixed this up in our Christian culture. We forget, yes, when we see injustice, we need to speak up about it, but it should be fueled from our desire of holy love. Not from our politics, not from any other framework. It should be because we have so encountered God and he has so shaped us that we can't help but look at the world and say, God wants to shape and love others as I have been loved. He wants to forgive others as I have been forgiven. We don't do things for the t-shirt. It's tempting, I know. I have my like, hey, I ran for water. I hiked Kilimanjaro for wells. Those are great things, but it is fueled by my desire that God created every person that is on this planet in his image, and I want them to know that the love of God has not forgotten about them. Holy love must fuel our opinions, our knowledge, and our activism. Verse 4, what does holy love look like? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Holy love is greater than the flesh. See, that passage, we appreciate the Old Testament and the law because it helps us understand the beauty of grace. I can't do this. Paul's words there should have you go, oh, there's no way I can do that on my own. Because in my closest and most prized relationships, I still get impatient. In my closest and most prized relationships, it still becomes all about me sometimes. In my closest and most prized relationships, sometimes I still boast. In my closest and most prized relationships, sometimes I don't look like Jesus and I don't operate in holy love. And so it should tell us that we need a supernatural power in order to love like this. It requires a Holy Spirit transformation and dependence on God from the inside out. And so we've been talking on this series about armoring up with the armor of God and getting up every day and putting on the armor of God. And we've been talking about that. And every day we are getting up and saying, God, I'm dependent on you. To be holy love, I am dependent on you. I cannot be kind enough. I cannot be patient enough. I know what my day is gonna look like. I know the people in my life that are gonna frustrate me. I know the people in my life that know how to push my buttons. I know what I am capable of when I am not fully surrendered to you. And so God, I get up this morning and I surrender myself. I don't need salvation again. I need an empowerment, a daily empowerment every single day that says, God, I'm yours. I'm wholly yours. And at the end of the day, I would encourage you maybe to consider, even if it's just for a short period of time, for you to do kind of this inventory. Today, was I patient or impatient? Was I content or jealous? Well, I was jealous. Why was I jealous? Well, you spent 4 hours on social media looking at what other people's lives are like. Oh, maybe there's a reason I was jealous. Was I a servant or was I demanding? Did I offer grace or was I a scorekeeper today? Did I have endurance today and grit or was I a quitter? Do not get tired of doing good. Do not get tired of doing good. Was I kind or unkind? Was I humble or boastful? Was I cheerful or irritable? Did I rejoice in injustice because somehow it gave me fuel to my political party? And so even though I disagreed with what happened, I used it in unhealthy ways. That one hit me. Or am I always trying to lead people towards truth, not fear-mongering, not false narratives, just for my objective, am I leading people towards truth? See, that takes this divine source of holy love flowing into us, not just one time, but daily. And so when, in a moment when people come down and they step into these waters, what they're confessing is that Jesus is Lord. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of all my life, right? All my life. And they're going to get down in this water, and there are three things that are represented about holy love as it relates to baptism. The very first thing that's represented about holy love as it relates to baptism is it represents Jesus' love for us. It always begins with him. And so it represents his life, death, and resurrection. It represents that with his death, our sins were buried. And with his resurrection, we can now be alive in him, not because of my own discipline and not because of my own works, but only because of what he has done. And so we are thankful that the Holy Spirit has communicated to us through his word and through the witness of the church that salvation only comes through Christ Jesus. Holy love only comes through what Jesus did for us. The second thing that it reminds us is that holy love is only possible when holy love comes into us. It's not something that we can conjure up. It's not like you're looking for this space of holy love that's somehow deep down inside of you and you can just access that. No, it's something that God does in us. You don't have access to it. See, let me stay on this. Oh man, I'm getting really. Oh, wait, I gotta hurry. But you need to hear this because our culture says if you just dig down deep enough in you, you will find your power, you will find your truth. And Scripture actually says no. What you will find is you are a broken, sinful person in need of a holy God to come in and purify you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you don't have to be afraid of him doing that because he loves you. And he died for you while you were still a broken sinner. And so there's something external that has to happen in us from a holy God. It's what we learn when we see Jesus. We're like, oh, Jesus healed people. How awesome was that? You know why Jesus was able to heal people? He wasn't afraid that their leprosy was going to infect him. He knew that his healing power was going to infect them. God is never worried that your unholiness is going to mess him up. He is only concerned that when you encounter him, his holiness will now sanctify you wholly. And so when we go down in the water, all that we are that is broken and sinful is buried. And when we come out of that water, we are reminded that we are a new, not a kind of new, not a kind of new. Now, there are going to be things that are, it's something that happens and it keeps happening. Again, one of those Greek issues that we have, the biblical Greek versus English. We had this idea that it happened once and it's taken, and then I'm good. I'm never going to have an issue with my old self again. No, it happened, meaning we know that Jesus cleanses us and it continues to happen. Ongoing. And the third thing that happens in baptism is that holy love not only comes, it communicates the holy love of God or Jesus, it also communicates the holy love that takes place in us, but also the holy love that's required to be part of the church. Because when you come out of those waters, you are identified as a family member of God. And we don't all look alike. Although on the Central Coast, we look more like each other than maybe other places. It's okay, you can uncomfortably laugh at that. We don't all come from the same socioeconomic background. We don't all come from the same generation. We don't all think about how to solve problems in this world the same way. Some of us came from the Midwest. Some of us are longtime Central Coasters. And it requires a holy love to one another. Love one another, care for one another, encourage one another, forgive one another, do life with one another. And so when you come out, you are committing not to discipline yourself, but to allow the Spirit to guide you in community with fellow believers. What Jesus has done for us, what Jesus has done in me, and what Jesus is going to do through me. In me, or it, what Jesus what is happening in Jesus, in me, and in us. And so we have some individuals that are going to be baptized today representing that. We actually had more people, and stupid sickness gets in the way of some of this stuff. And so we, I think we've got three individuals maybe. Is that correct? You guys want to start coming and getting ready to be a part of the baptisms that are going to take place. And so you can come if you're going to be baptized. But I also want you to know this. And I know this sounds radical and weird and odd, but maybe for some of you, the Holy Spirit's been stirring in your heart this morning. And he's reminding you, you've been trying to do this on your own. And there needs to be a moment in your life where you say, I can't do this. I can't have holy love on my own. I need God to fill me with his Spirit. I need a moment in my life, a somewhat spectacular moment in my life that becomes a catalyst to fuel the everyday holiness that God wants me to live into, that I can point back to. And so if that's you and you're saying, hey, I know I didn't come dressed for it. We got shorts and we got shirts. While we do these baptisms, and I want to encourage you, walk right over there. You can go out the back, and you can come over here, and there's going to be Pastor Gene and some other people that can talk to you and just kind of make sure that you just understand what is happening in terms of baptism, and we want to baptize. We see it throughout Scripture where people believed and they were baptized. They didn't believe and go, hey, let me make sure I got this all figured out yet. They believed and they were baptized, and then they began to walk in that new reality of baptism. And so I just want to encourage you that if you feel led to do that this morning, come down to my left, you're right over here. There'll be someone that can talk to you as those that have already committed to being baptized are baptized. Holy Spirit, would you just have your way in this moment? We're thankful for those that are going to be baptized today. And we ask God that they would point back to this day as just an epic moment in their spiritual journey, where they are reminded of what you did for them and in them and what they are committing to as a part of the church. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, I am so ready. And I know Pastor David just said it, but now you get a little Joanna in your ear as well. If you are feeling nudged to be baptized, come on down. The water is fine. We are ready. And if God is nudging you, I promise he won't stop nudging you. So if he's nudging you, come on down. And I'm really excited. We're going to celebrate. I'm going to have the three say your names. And then I am honored. I get to share a little bit of their stories. So you want to go first?
Brock.
How old are you, Brock?
6.
Shauna.
Esther.
No age needed. So as we're going to start, Brock, you and Shauna, you and your mom are going to show kind of a symbol of leaving your past life behind, and you can go ahead and go on down. And Shauna has shared that you can go ahead, that she is wanting to start fresh with God. She wanted a fresh start. And Brock, who again is six, says, I want to be baptized because Jesus was. God is so good. So this is Esther, and I'm just honored to read part of her story. Hi, everyone. Today is a big day for me. For one, I am coming out of the dark and out from behind the screen of my computer, watching and at times binge-watching the Sunday worship while at home. It's a little nerve-wracking, but I am happy to be here in person to worship with you. I grew up in church my whole life, and although I have always been a believer and felt that I had faith, I was really clueless. Life is unpredictable and never seems to go how you plan it. Storms come and go, and I feel fortunate I've been able to weather them all. Recently, I went through the most painful storm I could have imagined. Through consistent prayer, God put people in my life at the exact moments and gave me visions of hope. Out of the blue, I was invited to the women's Bible study by someone I knew casually. She said in a conversation she was drawn to invite me. That first night changed me. The message and the following week speaking directly to me. I am so grateful to be a part of that. My sisters in Christ sharing and praying for one another in ways I have never experienced before. Thank you, Lori. Thank you for listening and acting when God spoke to you. Around the time I decided to get baptized, I had a dream I was taking a shower, and I couldn't let go of that dream for days. Ordinary and mundane, but it would bring me a powerful message and confirmation I am on the right path. I looked it up. It symbolizes a cleaning and purification of the spirit and soul, renewal and recovery, and healing, transformation, new beginning, and a rebirth. Sometimes, many times as a lifeline Christian, I feel like a failure, but my faith is strong. When I look back, I know and feel God's presence protecting and guiding me on a path that brings me closer to Him. I am learning to listen and, more importantly, act. So after many years of being clueless, I surrender myself and go forward much stronger in my faith with the strength of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everyone, this is Angela. Welcome her to the family. And she's just sharing she's been walking through a season of grief and just unpredictability, and knows that she wants to just give her life to Jesus and be baptized today.
Church, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now as we celebrate life being transformed in our service today. As she is going in the water, I want you to extend your hand. And when she comes out, church, let us celebrate what God is doing in her life right now. Praise God. Yes. Online, you can celebrate too. On the patio, you can celebrate. Praise God. So what just happened, church, is people are choosing to trust in the Spirit of God through the person of Jesus and come to the water of baptism. And this is something that church history, we have been doing this in our tradition of church for forever, since the book of Acts. And so we as a church get to participate in seeing this still happen in 2022 and continuing to happen in the future days to come. And so what we're going to do right now is we are going to sing a song called Reason I Sing. It's all about the reason we sing is because of transformation that happens through Jesus. We sing because he's good. We sing because he's great. We sing because he's God. We sing because he's holy. And he's still at work in the earth. And so as we sing this song, I am going to go ahead and commission us now. So if you want to leave after this, you can leave. But if you want to celebrate and lift up your voice to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, please stay. But you have to go. We understand. So right now, I'm going to commission you and say by the power of the Spirit, let him come on you like he did in Acts chapter 2 again. Let him breathe new life into you again. Let him renew your spirit and give you a hunger and thirst for his word. Let his face shine upon you, church, as you go out. And let you and I walk in holy love today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let's lift our voices to the King right now.
you paid for the victory you won over death and the grave. This is the reason.